Okay? But there, but you get rid of the chametz on Passover on the 14th. You get rid of the chametz so that you in memorial no chametz on the 15th, you're free. Children of Israel celebrated the 14th with chametz, which we will do next Friday. Okay? So next Friday, if you don't know, if you're here, you're welcome to attend the Seder, but you need to let me know so I can find a place to sit you. Nearly everyone here has let me know. So I'll send the information out the first of the week so that the table setters can plan what they're supposed to do. Our Seder doesn't include a meal. We also don't charge for it. We also don't invite everybody. Let me say that again. Our Seder, okay, doesn't include a meal. It's done as a collective thing with the congregation, but it is the one time of the year that we have Passover, the one time of the year that we have the bread and body of the Messiah on the right day. There's only one day. That's Passover. You can do it any other time you want, but this is the one day that it is Passover. What are we celebrating on the 14th? What we're celebrating on the 14th, we're memorializing what Yeshua did. And he didn't invite everybody. Maybe that did. He didn't invite everybody. He had Passover with his disciples. What about his brothers and sisters? What about the 120? They didn't get invited. Because this was a personal thing he was doing with his disciple. And then he said, do this as oft as you do in memory of me. Well, okay, so you can make it a narrow jurisdiction, that just means the communion. But if we're going to do Passover, we should do it in remembrance of him. So everything about our Seder next week is towards Yeshua, about Yeshua, and all those things. It's the most sacred thing that I do every year, that we do together. And so we will grant it the blessing of time. No matter how much I try, you can't hurry up. You know, the good stuff never gets hurried up. And so that particular night, okay, next Friday night, I ask you to come at 6:30 so that we can start on the early part, be just before sundown. See, sundown is not just like 7:40. So some of the preliminaries are taken care of before the sun goes down, but the actual main part of the Seder takes place after sundown. Okay? You are so fortunate that you are not in the early 2000s. Because we rented the space at in front of the junior college. There's a place there. There's another place with similar name down south. Okay, and we rented that place to do our Passover Seder. We did it 2 years, like on the floor. Okay, everybody on the floor and all those things. And it's just a full moon. And guess what? We had to clean the place. Because it wasn't ours. We were renting from, you know, the senior people that are there in that place. And we started the cleanup at 12:30 a.m. 2 years in a row. Okay? We finished the cleanup. It was 2. That's when we went home. Except that, I said, well, look, the full moon's out, so let's take a walk. So we walk around the village. villages. It's called a village. In front, is that correct? Some of you worked there. That's right. So we took a walk around the village at 2 in the morning. Some have left, but the standard Simcha families that always stay till the end, we all stay with our kids. We're all walking around with the kids looking at, you don't need night lights because the moon is so bright. Okay, so sometimes I feel like if we go till 9:30 or 10 at night, that, you know, you get restless. The people get restless. Guess what? It's Friday night. You're not going to work on Shabbat, right? So I'm going to assume that since you have the day off Saturday from work, that is, that, you know, I won't worry about time this year. Not even a little bit. So if you actually want to wash feet of everybody in your family, we'll give you time to do that. The second thing is that Shabbat is a high holy day, and the first day of unleavened bread is a high holy day. So Shabbat is Saturday, which ends at sundown, and the first day of unleavened bread starts at sundown. We don't have this facility Sunday. So we'd either have to go like wandering Jews, like the wandering Jewish community here, and try to find some place to hold a service on Sunday. So what are the chances that we find what church is not going to be doing something on Sunday that we could rent? The answer is none. So instead, we will start the Saturday service at 4 p.m. so that by the time the Shabbat part of the Saturday service is done, it'll be nightfall. And then we can do the first day of unleavened bread part after Havdalah. Do Havdalah, and then after that, do a little bit of an hour or so to honor the Lord on the first day of unleavened bread, and we're going to get 2-for-1. BOGO, right? BOGO. BOGO, high holy day. Okay, so the service, so if we stay here extra Friday night, but you know you can't work Saturday, then you can sleep in Saturday, take your time, eat your cold lunch and salad, okay, and then come back at 6 p.m. And we'll do service until 9 p.m. or so, and it will be a BOGO service, okay? Do one, get two. We'll get Shabbat, and we'll get the first day of unleavened bread in the same service, but it spans the time, so technically, you know, Jews are technical. Technically, it fulfills it just fine. Now, if we had our own place, it would be different. Then we would have the Seder Friday night, Shabbat service, and the first day of unleavened bread service on Sunday, 3 days in a row. Okay? Those of you that are praying for us to get a place, continue to pray that we'll get our own place so that we can do that. And we can have extra service. And we can have meals there and all that kind of thing. How about that? 6 p.m. I said 4 to start with. Then it's 6. There's an hour and a half of, I think it's 6 p.m. When all else fails, go to the website and then press on High Holy Day Schedule. And it says Shabbat Matzot, okay, 6 p.m. It was published. I actually did it right. Okay, so the name of today's message in... It's 11:47. I believe that I can be done by 12:30. So relax. You got MasterCard. Okay? Tell your stomach that, okay, wait 12:30, you're going to get to eat. Here's what the scripture says. So the name of the message is get rid of the old habits. Get rid of the habits so you can obtain freedom. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. Get rid of the old habits. But Paul's not making that up. He's quoting Exodus 12, 9. Get rid of the old habits, Exodus 12, 9. So you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That Passover lamb, Messiah is the Passover lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's from Luke. Okay? At the baptism of Yeshua. Okay? Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with the old habits. That's Exodus 13:7 and Deuteronomy 16:3. The habits of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, the matzah of sincerity and truth. That's 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. Also, we quoted from John 1:29. The next day, John the Baptist sees Yeshua coming to him and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. At this point, I should take the keyboard and say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay, that's scriptural background for what I want to speak about. One of the great benefits of Messianic Judaism is the fact that you have been enabled. Okay, something's been enabled in you, okay? We paid the fee. Right? We paid the software fee for the whole time. Okay? And you are now enabled. Once you enter into Messianic Judaism, you're now enabled. You now, there's been a download from above that opens a key. A key is opened so that you can use the full set, the full software, which is the Word of God. That's the software that we're going to run. That's the operating system that we need to have. And it's been unlocked. Okay? You have been, once in Messianic Judaism, besides what's been given to you when you became a believer in Yeshua, Messianic Judaism enables you to go back to Scripture. Enables you to go back to the Hebrew Scriptures and review them in a Jewish context that you never had before. Before, it was just a bunch of laws that seemed like reading the New Testament, it seemed like they had been like diminished. Now, they were never, Yeshua never said that they were taken away unless you don't like Matthew 5:16. Unless you don't like Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Because he made it very clear that the Word of God is still in effect. But without that amplification, without that extra thing that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from the throne of God, you sometimes read those scriptures and their meaning and relevance are diminished. I wonder whose idea it would be that. I wonder which kingdom. Does the kingdom of heaven want you to lose meaning and have no relevance in the Word of God? Does the kingdom of heaven have you to lose meaning and have no relevance in the actual words of the Bible that were written by God Himself? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So what happens is in this phenomenon called Messianic Judaism that we're part of, this congregation is part of, it's been an enabling mechanism. And you and I can look at the scripture and you might say, well, I don't know what you know. But I want to say to you, you got the same Holy Spirit I got. Because it's not a function of my intellect. It's a function of the Spirit. The Spirit will actually, you be reading on the Torah, you'll be reading on the prophets, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you like we just sang, breathe on me. What is the word breathe in Hebrew? Huh? Ruach. Breathe. It's, you know, it's the Shema. So the Holy Spirit, the Lord will breathe on us through His Spirit. And all of a sudden, all those scriptures, you go like, oh, I never saw that. I never saw that connection with what the Messiah was doing. It can go both ways. If you start reading about Yeshua in the Gospels, all of a sudden you go, oh, that sounds just like Zechariah. And then you go to Zechariah and say, and find it and go, ah, there it is. So Yeshua is quoting, what scripture is he quoting? Is he quoting Paul? Doesn't exist yet. And he might want to quote Paul, but it doesn't exist yet. Is he quoting the Gospels? Well, they don't exist yet because they were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit after he went back to heaven. So what is he quoting? He's quoting primarily the book of Deuteronomy. And all of a sudden, we read that they said, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. I missed that. I looked at Deuteronomy 35 years ago. And only because they made me in the Bible school. And now all of a sudden, the words of Yeshua are being, they're appearing in the Old Testament. No wonder Yeshua said to the disciples in the road to Emmaus, okay, search the Tanakh. Search the scriptures. Search the Tanakh. The scriptures was the Tanakh. Search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Listen, Yeshua said, search the scriptures because they testify of me. He knows something about him. He knows that he's in there. He's encoded in there. You go, well, I don't have the code. Oh, yes, you do. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when you came to Messianic Judaism, the Holy Spirit unlocks that in you. And you are able to see it. Not just I, but you are able to see it. I would venture to say that the reason you're attracted here, one of the reasons you're attracted here is because that is true. That all of a sudden, all that stuff, all those 36, you know, 30, all those books, there's more of them than the other, right? You take the Bible and, you know, the first two-thirds are, quote, the law. And the last third is the new covenant. So there's 2-1. It's BOGO. So the Lord spoke in Leviticus 23 about his festivals. And about the festival of Passover, he said, he told us in the Torah that we were supposed to put away all leaven. The word in Hebrew is chametz. All leavening from our dwellings. That was not a suggestion. It says, on Leviticus 23 verse 6, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of Matzot, the feast of unleavened bread in English, which in the modern Jewish world is referred to as Passover. This is a festival to Yah Adonai our Elohim. And he says, for 7 days you are to eat matzah, that's unleavened bread, without chametz. First, we take the chametz out of the house, but we don't bring it back in. We take it out of our house, and we eat instead matzah, which is unleavened bread, for 7 days. Every Jewish home is commanded to remove all chametz for the dwellings for 7 days. Notice that when this was first given in the book of Exodus, they did that before they ate the Passover. They ate the Passover with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Okay? So when Yeshua ate his Passover on the 14th, did he eat it with leavened bread Did he eat leavened bread? Did he eat matzah? It's actually there in the Gospels. It's actually there in the Gospel. Well, he's doing the celebration of Passover a whole day before the rest of the Jewish community is that he lives in. They're not going to do this until the next day at sundown. But the next day at sundown, he's entombed. And he knows the future. And because he knows the future, he's actually celebrating his Seder a day before the community. Now, did somebody want to go and tell him? That's not when you do it. If somebody want to come in and tell the boss, the one who wrote it, that's not what you wrote. I mean, I think he knows what he wrote. Okay? Notice that in Judaism, you were to read about the Passover for the Jewish community. On the 14th, they take the chametz out. Correct, Ami? Correct, Ami? Correct, Pat? On the 14th, they take the chametz out. They don't do a Seder on the 14th, but they take the chametz out. In fact, they do a whole thing of taking a candle and going around the house. And the owner of the house, the master of the house, okay, if they find some chametz after sundown, he used to blow on it and said, "Be it as dust," which actually we can't get rid of. I can't get rid of dust in my house. I live in the country. I don't know where it comes from. We have Anderson windows and everything. You don't hear any noise. But there's two things that managed to get in. Lizards and dust. We're always getting rid of lizards and dust. Thank God it's not roaches. But that too, we had to get rid of this sometime. The word chametz means leaven. And it's used in scripture as a symbol for sin. Please note that the Jewish community does not take the Passover unless the chametz have been removed. In Exodus, okay, they took the Passover the day before they left, right? The night before they left. And that Passover is commanded to, in Exodus 14, specifically to eat it with bitter herbs and matzah, which something we quote during the Haggadah, or the Seder thing. Now, Yeshua Adonai said, "Be on guard yourselves against the chametz of the Pharisees." It's translated the leavening of the Pharisees. And the chametz of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. This is Yeshua quoting. "There's nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in private will be proclaimed from the rooftops." Luke 12, 1 through 3. Yeshua said, be on guard against the chametz of the Pharisees. But he doesn't let us just go, well, what does that mean? That's hypocrisy. Oh. What? Is hypocrisy ever okay? Hypocritus. You know, in that idea in the arts, they use these masks to represent especially drama, because it's not who you can look at somebody doing something and you go, well, who's that? Oh, that's the Barber of Seville. And you go, oh no, that's not the Barber of Seville, that's Stephen singing. And you go, no. See, in art, there is a masquerading that takes place. That's why they use the masks to refer to that. This idea of mask is embedded in this idea of hypocrisy. Yeshua said that the chametz that we must guard against is hypocrisy. So let me say the following. You can fool me. You can fool John and you can fool Sam. Even John's not here. You can fool him. Although somebody thinks that he's ever present. You can fool your friends. You can even fool yourself for a while. But ultimately, Yah Adonai, our Elohim's word, will come to pass. Ultimately, his son Yeshua's word will come to pass. And it says in Luke that all this stuff that's been done in secret and it's been done behind closed doors is going to be exposed. In fact, it's going to be shouted from the rooftop. That means that it's going to be shouted so that the neighbors can hear it. It's going to be revealed. Okay. There is a time coming, my friends, that all my sins will be exposed. All of mine, all of yours too. Here's the problem. Satan knows the Bible also. So if you have something to hide or conceal, if you think that you have a special card from heaven to have concealed sins, no, you can, there is no card in heaven for concealed sins. There is a card that you can get in the state of Florida to carry a concealed weapon. Not sin, weapon, okay? So if you have any concealed sins, Satan and his army know about it. And they know that the Lord said it has to be revealed. So what do? They plan the revealing party. Because the Bible doesn't say when they're going to be revealed. It just said they will. So guess what the enemy does? He decides to reveal them when he can inflict the largest amount of pain. See, you can fool me, your parents, your employer, your friends, and even yourself for a while. But Yeshua Adonai's words will come to pass. Because, lo, I'm with you till the end of the world. And besides, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one of my words will pass away. Quoting Yeshua. And Luke said that the sins and everything is going to be revealed. For example, in the Tanakh it says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. So the scripture is full of no chametz. The scripture is full of no hypocrisy. The scripture is full of no sin in our innermost being, in the inside. But the enemy is planning to reveal your sin that's not known. And like what happened with Gateway, he's looking for the maximum impact. The enemy of our souls are busily planning to reveal our sin that nobody knows. But that's not in your timing. And that's certainly not Adonai's timing. Okay? Because his intent is not to make you feel good. His intent is not to hurt you a little bit. Oh, the enemy just wants to hurt me. No, you don't understand what Yeshua said. The enemy doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to kill you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to damage God's reputation and eliminate any future generations. Not all that. Not interested in that. Has your sin found you out yet? What do you mean by that? Let me quote it. Numbers 32:23. But if you don't do this, behold your sin against Yah Adonai. Behold you sin against Yah Adonai. Be assured your sin will find you out. In Hebrews chapter 4, in Romans chapter 10, let me read some more. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to 13. Why do you judge your brother? Or you too, Why do you look down on your brother? For we all will stand before the judgment seat of Jah Adonai Elohim. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says Yah Adonai, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will praise, shall sing praise to God. So each one of us shall give an account of himself to Yah Adonai. Here's another one. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, so that each one may receive what is due for the things that he did while he's in the body, whether or good or bad. Here's another one. For the word of Yah Adonai, our Elohim, is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing right through a separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him. We are new creatures, right? That's biblical term of who I am. I am a new creation, a new creature, right? No creature is hidden from him, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him, to whom we must give an account. So look, we all must give an account. But perhaps because it has not been required of us to do so, and especially publicly from the rooftops, we're often deceived into hypocrisy. We're deceived into covering it up, and it's okay, and we can go years and years not having any idea what could happen. But Yah Adonai or Elohim set aside this time yearly for us to do some closet cleaning, for us to do deep cleaning, for us to do spring cleaning, because, by the way, it's spring. You know it's spring because the temperature outside is 92. So we have been given time to do the spring cleaning and get the hametz out. And while we're going to do that in our homes by next Friday, he's really kind of interested in something beyond our homes, and he's interested in us getting the hametz out of our own soul. This is no easy task. And in my house, it takes several days and meticulous discipline to get it out of our home, to get it out of our cars, to get it out of our clothes, to clean the toaster. How do you clean the toaster? Put some Spanish music in. The natural, which is seen, actually does reveal the spiritual, which is not seen. That's Romans 1:20. Therefore, we must endeavor to go deep into our soul and do some hametz cleaning, spring cleaning. Yah Adonai our Elohim meant for us to do it in our homes, as stated in the Torah. But he also meant it for us to do it in our abode, in the abode of the Holy Spirit. You realize that if you don't clean it in there, the Holy Spirit is living in filth. Or you want him to. I'm not sure he can, so that would be a good discussion theologically. Is our dirty temples inside throw away the Holy Spirit? Drive him away. Well, he's holy. He's from God. He can't live in something that is unholy. We got a discussion here, theologians. This spring cleaning happens during the spring high holidays. 4 minutes, Arroyo. Get busy. He's interested in what's happening in the state of our hearts more than he's interested in what happens in our homes. And we're meticulous about getting all the hametz out of our home. Maybe you aren't, but we are. Out of our jurisdiction. Because if not, Ms. Arroyo said, then we're disobeying. So, Are you then prepared to get rid of the old habits from your spiritual life? What does it say about Messiah is your sacrifice and his Seder? When was his Seder? What was the emphasis of his Seder? And what are we to remember each time we do it? Oh, that's not the Manishtana questions. You know, I tried to write them in Hebrew and see if I could put melody on it. But then let's answer the questions, okay? Next Friday night will be Nisan 14. Like Yeshua on his Seder, I, Rabbi Tony, I can say and will say, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover Seder with you. I say it every year. We will not do a demonstration Seder. We're not just going to do a reenactment of Yeshua's Seder. But instead, we're going to reach across time and dimensions and actually eat the Seder with Yeshua when he was doing it with his disciples. And we will be partaking of the inauguration of his memorial meal. Sigron Mashiach is called in Messianic movement. The Messiah's remembrance meal, or communion, as it's called. That is our Messiah Yeshua's memorial Passover remembrance meal that we're doing next Friday. You may experience a lot of pushback from this point until next Friday. You may experience some things going a little bit nuts around your place. If you are, you're not alone. It already started in my house 2 weeks ago. It's already started. The spiritual warfare preceding that evening has been historically off the chart for many of you. But next Friday, we enter into his rest. Look, next Friday, we enter into a Shabbat, his rest, when we experience the Passover Seder of Passover Seders, the one that is with Yeshua, commemorating him. What's written about that night? It was a night of watching for Adonai to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The same night is a night of vigil for Adonai. Next Friday night is a night of vigil for the Lord. He's staying up all night. Of course, we could ask you after the Seder, can you stay a little bit longer? Let's pray. But because all of you are the great, you're not Matthew and you're not Philip, right? You guys would say, oh, no, we are James, John, and you know, et cetera, and Peter. We want to do it. Well, the reality was they couldn't do it. The reality was they couldn't do it. So John 17 happens, and they're all asleep. And some of the greatest praying that ever takes place is shared in John 17, and his disciples were asleep. Scripturally, okay, just the fact that we are celebrating Yeshua's Seder with him should motivate you. However, towards the end of the evening, at the time of the third cup, we will have Passover Holy Communion. That's the only time you can have Passover Holy Communion, because it's the only day that's called Passover. Okay? And because the next day is the biblical Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let me finish by saying, I think that before the Seder, we should prepare spiritually. And then we should be willing to give the Lord a little bit of time next Friday night. I think we need that mindset for all of the holidays. We need to give it some time. That's all I want to say. Just give the Lord the gift of time. This is the season to bless Yah Adonai, our Elohim, and thank him for bringing us freedom. Everlasting freedom. We are made free Him whom the Son has freed, he is free indeed. Is that correct? Therefore, we have so much to celebrate. The freedom that came to us came because we humbled ourselves originally and confessed our sin, and we find that he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. We didn't say it today, but you got it memorized, don't you? And that's what happened. So I want to ask you, are you ready to get rid of the chametz so you can obtain freedom? I think so. I hope so. But do you want to wait till next Friday night to make things right? Shabbat shalom.